Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 13. I'm going to give you an introduction today. I think we could leave right now and it would be glorious with what God has done. And I wasn't even here, and I'm still glowing off of Thursday night. And my wife sent me a video, and I was coming home from Gainesville, and I got it, and she was scanning around the room, and I saw the cross and the things that were nailed to the cross, and I saw the message that was written right here that I think sits in Caroline's room, but it was right here Thursday night, and I saw the different groups of ladies praying for each other and ministering to each other, and it was glorious. It was glorious, and I just praise God for moving among His people the way that He does. You know, we look at the news and everything is negative, 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 and it's divisive. And, you know, Lori and I have been paying real close attention lately because all you see is racial, on the news, all you see is racial tension, and they want to create all of this atmosphere and all of this. And Lori and I have really been making note and noticing that everywhere we go and we see people that are of different ethnicity together. And I see them, you know, friends just walk in little groups, and we notice it when we go in restaurants and groups of people and the blacks and the whites and the Hispanics and all of that stuff. And I'm not saying that there's not some truth that there are issues out there. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. But I want to tell you something. Experientially, I look around and I see people loving people, and I see people getting along, and I see people wanting to do life together. Right now, probably my favorite minister that I'm listening to is Erwin McManus. I've just listened to everything. I can, you know, multiple sermons every week and all of that. And his Mosaic Church is in L.A. and he's Hispanic, and his church is just an eclectic mix of people. And I just see God moving so mightily. And I see God moving on the hearts of people so mightily. I was listening to him last night. I went over the deer lease to collect a deer stand out of the woods, and I was just walking through the woods listening to it, and he was talking about a legacy thing that they had just, they said, man, so a couple came to him in their church and said, hey, we want to just challenge, because they're sprouting up these campuses all over around L.A. and in the different parts of L.A. and all of that. And they said, you know, it's expensive for us to do these different campuses and all of that. And a couple came to him and said, we just want to challenge the body. Pray about it and see if you feel good about it. And we want to challenge the body that we're going to donate $25,000, and we want to challenge somebody to match it with $25,000. And within about a week to 10 days, there was a domino that took place. And one couple came back and said, well, we'll up the ante after people had come in and all of this stuff, and they said, we'll do 50 if you'll move yours to 50 and all that. And he said, man, in about a week we had 8 different people donated $300,000 to the church. And that's Hispanic, black, white, every ethnicity that you can see, and they're doing life together and loving Jesus together. The Spirit of God is a spirit of love, and the Spirit of God is a spirit of reconciliation. And let us be a people that harbor that and carry that well. Amen? That carry that well. I want to start something. I started it a few weeks ago, and by accident, God's kind of put this on my heart for a while now, and it's something I'm trying to learn. Everybody make note of that. It's something that I am trying to learn. I believe that God has to teach us, and we think we know a lot of stuff, and God comes in and said, he says, I've got to teach you some things. And we're going to see this in 2 Chronicles 13 and specifically 15 this morning as I start some stuff. But God's just been stirring on me this entire year, but especially the last few weeks, about honor and us learning how to honor. And we come in, and as I've said before, I think one of the greatest things that's missing in our culture and perhaps the generations that we live in, I'll put my generation in that. I'm not going to throw it all on you younger generations, that we don't know how to properly honor things. We don't know how to properly honor each other. We don't know how to properly honor God. We don't know how to properly honor ourselves and who we are in Christ Jesus. When you don't know how to honor yourself, and I don't mean exalt yourself, I mean honor who you are in Christ Jesus. That I look and I see myself clothed in His righteousness. I see in myself what He says about me. Okay? Not what the enemy says about me. But when I learn to do that, then that immediately throws honor up to Him because He's the one that did all of it. And if I don't honor myself as redeemed man, and I don't honor you in multiple levels, then I can't properly honor God. And so I felt like, you know, I told you at the beginning of the year that God always speaks some words to me about what this setting up, what this year is going to be about. And the first thing that He spoke to me really in the end of December was that 2018 was going to be a year of hidden things being revealed, of secret things being spoken to us. And as we go in this journey of intimacy and this journey of progression in our faith, it will give us, grant us access to hear things that we previously couldn't hear before. There are things that are spoken in places of intimacy. And when I say intimacy, it could be me and my wife driving down the road, okay? But just me and my wife, things that are spoken that are not spoken in larger groups. And as we get into these deeper places of intimacy, I believe God's going to speak, reveal hidden things and truths into our lives. That's one thing that He told me. He began to speak to me about hospitality, and I felt like that hospitality was going to be significant in 2018. I'm already seeing the fruit and the manifestation of that. Just even in our life group. We've hosted a life group for several years, but have you noticed the difference in our life group in 2018? Not just in our life group, but in 2018. And there's a different spirit about it. And regardless of the study, it doesn't matter if it's coming from Hillsong or if it's coming from Passion or where it's going to be coming from, but there's just a shift in that I sense and I feel, and I totally dig that, what God's doing. And then God just recently this week spoke to me, and He said another significant thing, and then hospitality is going to come under the umbrella of that. But He said that that this year God is going to carry us into a journey into honor. Everybody listen to that now. That 2018, God is going to carry us on a journey into honor, Tiffany. And He is going to teach us about honor. He's going to teach us how to honor. The things that we thought that we did honorably, and we thought that man, I know how to do this. You ain't got to, I was raised right, and I've been in church and all that stuff. God's going to rechange the way that we think, and He's going to show us His ways. He's going to show us His pattern. He's going to show us His heart. And I think that we're going to learn to honor. God's going to carry us on a journey into honor this year, TW, and I'm excited about that because I want to get that right. That's one of the biggest prayers I have right now is, God, teach me how to properly honor. Honor you, honor my wife, honor my family, honor your body, honor strangers, honor creation and all of that. And that's a journey God's got me on right now. And I think He's going to carry this house on that journey. And I think that we're going to see amazing, we're going to reap amazing things out of this. We really are. And it's going to do something tremendous in our relationships with Him and our relationships with each other. So with that being thrown out there, I want us to kind of launch into a couple things. We talked, and the word that really triggered this was when we were talking about Peter in John 21 and Peter in his place of being restored by the Lord privately and publicly. And I always felt like John 21 was the public restoration of Peter, but that was wrong. The public restoration of Peter took place in the upper chamber with the disciples on two different occasions, where he was there with them, and the Lord came in, and He spoke over them, and He said, you know, don't be troubled, peace be still, my peace I give you. And He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Peter was in that. And if Peter was on the outs, Jesus ain't putting no breath on him. But because He came in and He publicly restored him and the disciples, and He breathed on them, and He said, receive you the Holy Ghost. That's the first mention. He says, I will send a comforter, but that's the first mention where He actually breathes, and it's the first. It was the appetizer for the Holy Spirit. I don't mean that disrespectful, disrespectful. But it was the preliminary, his preemptive strike into our hearts of releasing the Holy Spirit into us. And Peter was there. And we came out of that and we talked about the situation where Peter and the apostles, seven of the disciples, were at the Sea of Galilee. They were fishing. And we know the story. Jesus showed up on the seashore in the morning, and they hadn't caught anything all night. He said, "Children, have you meat, any meat?" And they said, "No." John said, "It's the Lord." And immediately Peter, the word says that Peter dove in. But before he dove in, he did something. He put on his fisherman's coat. And the King James says fisherman's coat. Probably a better translation would be a tunic or an outer garment. You know, because I immediately think about the Gorton fisherman on the little fish stick boxes, and he probably didn't have the yellow slicker on or anything like that. But he had an outer garment. I believe that Peter was probably stripped to the waist for work and all of that, and what was appropriate around the brethren was not appropriate around the Lord. And so I believe that you say, "Man, you're getting old school and legalistic and all that." No, I'm not. Honor will not carry you into a place of legalism, but it will carry you into a place of right. I will say that again. Honor will not carry you into a place of legalism, because I've seen both, but it will carry you into a place of right. Because honor, when it comes from the heart, it shows a pure heart. And I know a lot of people that had a wicked heart and were hung up in legalism. And you've seen it too. You've seen it from your background. You've seen it abused in those things. But as long as we're getting the legalism part right, then we're okay. That was what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all about. But he said, "You wicked generation, your hearts are far from me." And so I believe that God will carry us into a place as we go into honor that it will be coming out of something that is right, and it'll be a pure heart. And Peter was so moved by the fact that I can't wait to get in the presence of the Lord, but in order for me to get in the presence of the Lord, I want to get in that presence right. And so he put on that outer garment. We all know that it's not easy to swim in clothes. You ever tried to swim in blue jeans and a long sleeve shirt and all that? It is not easy. You know, you don't. Michael Phelps don't swim in that stuff. And he still beat me if he did, but he don't swim in that stuff. And so we see Peter saying, "I want to get there fast, but it's imperative that I get there right. And I want us to be a people that, yes, I want to get there fast, but I'd rather get there right if it takes a little longer. If it takes longer for this body, I want to get there right, Shane. I want to get there right. If it takes longer for me to get there in my life, I want to get there right." And so we see Peter doing that. And I told you straight up, I feel like this was a thing of honor. It wasn't a thing of modesty, and it was a thing of honor. Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years. I believe that Jesus had seen him in every way you could see him. I believe he'd seen him in every, so it was not a thing of, "Oh, I don't want the Lord to see something." You know, he had seen him in every light, and he still said yes. And he still chose him, and he still called him, but it was an honor thing with Peter. So we talked about that some Wednesday night, and this morning, I want to just kind of give a introduction, and I'm sure we'll have to hit it Wednesday and perhaps even next Sunday, some things that the Lord spun out of that Wednesday night. And there are two things that the Lord really spun out of that. And number one is teaching honor. And that's not just, "I'm going to raise my kids right." But it goes way, way, way deeper than that. And so I want to talk about teaching honor this morning. And I don't think we'll get there today, but there's another aspect of this that is huge, and it's honoring for others when they're not able to. It's honoring for others when they're not able to. And the two scripture references that the Lord brought to me to use on that was when David came in and he spared Saul at the caves of En-Gedi. And Saul was coming in, and Saul was in a very vulnerable position. He was actually in there using the restroom. And he was said when his feet are covered. So he was taking care of business, and David and his men were hidden in the caves. Saul was hunting David down, and David could have killed Saul. His men even said, "Look what God has delivered into your hand. This is the day of deliverance from the Lord." And David understood God's heart way more than his mighty men. And they were great warriors, but they didn't have a level of maturity on the spiritual sense to understand the way God worked and God's ways. And so David said, I cannot do this. He cut the edge of his robe off, and then it tore him up because he did that. He felt like that was a thing of dishonor just by cutting it. He wanted to show Saul, "I could have killed you." But he was so moved by that. And so David was actually in a more honorable place than his men, so he honored when they weren't able to honor. The second one thing that the Lord brought to my mind was Abigail and Nabal. Y'all remember the story of Abigail and Nabal? He was a great man. The word says great man just in his wealth. And his flocks, he had like 3,000 sheep and all of this cattle and all this stuff, but his flocks were up around the Carmel, the region of Carmel. And David's men were basically a shield and a protection for him, that none of the Philistine raiders or bands or anything could come and take from them. And so David went when they were shearing the sheep at Carmel, and he said, "Man, y'all been among us all this time, and we've protected you and all of that stuff. We would like some type of restitution for this, some type of blessing for this," which was not a stretch. You know, the Philistines could have killed him and took everything he had, but for David's men, because David had 600 armed men at this time. 600 armed men. That was quite a little army in that region. And Nabal dealt very harshly with David, and basically he knew about David, and he says, "There are a lot of people that split from their masters, and he's running from Saul and all this, and he ain't nothing to me," and all that. And so he basically sent his servants away. Well, David's like, "I'm about to show you." He said, "There ain't a man alive out of your crew that's going to be alive tomorrow." He said, "I'm going to come in, and I'm going to kill every..." The King James says, "Everyone that pisseth against the wall." He basically said, "Everybody in your household, I'm going to kill them." I love some of that little prissy King James language. He said, "I'm going to kill them." And Abigail, his wife, understood that her husband was a heathen. And some of the servants that were there when Nabal did that to David's servants, they told her, and they said, "David's going to come kill everybody." And so she loads up, and she carries all of this stuff, and she meets David, and she comes in, and she falls at David's feet, and she honors David. And not only does David spare the whole company, but David winds up marrying her 10 days later after her husband dies. In 10 days, then David sends for her, and he was so impressed he took her as a wife. And so that was another case of her honoring for other people when they were not either too ignorant to, or too immature to, or not in a position to. So we're going to do some teaching on that. I think that's important for us. The thing is, guys, is we've got to get to that point where I can actually honor for somebody else. Because if I'm one of the mighty men, or if I'm even, heaven forbid, a Nabal or something like that, then I can't honor for other people. So we've got to start this journey. I want to be able to honor for my children. That's one thing we see about Job. Job's coming in, and he's making sacrifice for his kids just in case they're screwing up. Just in case they messed up last week, "God, I'm coming. Here's sacrifices for me. Here's sacrifices for my family." It's kind of the same thing we're talking about. And Job's doing all this just in case. Just in case they didn't honor you this week, I am for them. But we've got to be in the position before we can do that. And we've got to be in that position before we can reach a world that's not in that position. I can't intercede. The Lord says, "Who will stand in the gap?" I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. And if I'm not in the place to stand in the gap, then how can I? All right? So that's the journey we're on. With that being said, you say, "Man, you just preached it." No, I promise I didn't. We scratched the surface. I want us to talk about teaching honor and spend a few minutes in that, and I'm sure we'll finish this up on Wednesday night. Everybody, 1 Chronicles 13. 1 Chronicles 13. Think on this, the backdrop. Typically, we do 2 Samuel 6 as our scripture concerning this. This is when David is, God's moved on his heart. David's heart has been stirred. And he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He recognizes that God has established him as a king. He recognizes God has established him as a nation, and Israel as a nation. And he said, "How can we be everything that we're supposed to be if the Ark of the Covenant's not here?" At this time, it was in Abinadab's house. And he said, "As a nation, it's got to be where we are. As a nation, it's got to be in our capital. It's in my heart to bring it into where my house is, into this." You have to... In order to be everything God created you to be, in order for your life to be maximized and fulfilled and all of that stuff, you cannot come in and worship God from afar or even glean just off of other people's experience and relationship with Christ. We can get blessing. The oil runs from Aaron's beard, and it's awesome. But in order for me to be everything that God intended and designed and said about me, I have to have this, that, "God, I want it to be maximized in my life." Don't satisfy with it just working in your Aunt Robin's life or your mom and dad's life or in order for Hannah to be that prophetic declaration that God spoke that you are, then it's got to come into Hannah's life and Hannah's home and Hannah's proximity, wherever that is. You know, whether you wind up living in who knows where. It might be Bremen, but it might be off, to Nepal or somewhere like that. So it's got to be a thing where, "God, I want to bring you into my place." And David had this in his heart, "I want to bring you into my place." And in the 1 Samuel 6, it talked about how they went about bringing the ark in. First David went and he went to all the leaders and he said, this is in my heart, this is my idea, what do y'all think about this? Okay? He didn't just run out there, he said, does this sound good to y'all? What do y'all think about this? You know? We're going to do this. I want to do this. What do y'all think about this? Everybody said, man, that sounds awesome. And so then they gather all of these people, the nation of Israel, like 30,000 people go out there to get the ark. 30,000, that is quite a little entourage that's going. 30,000 people are going from, I don't know if it's, hey, let's just meet at Abinadab's house. Pretty good lawn party, right? 30,000 folks show up, and we're going to bring this ark back into Jerusalem. The problem with it is their heart was right in what they wanted to do, but they totally went about it in the wrong way. And they totally went about it in a wrong way of honor. Okay? Don't think that just because your intention is good and your heart is good that you're going to get God's seal of approval on it. That's important. Because our society is, God knows my heart. He knows I'm a good guy. They don't need me going to church. Me and God hang out on back porch. The only problem with that is some of the stuff he says in here about it. They don't need me tithing. That's old fashioned. God knows my heart. I help people out. Only problem with that is what he says in here about it. And I could go on and on and on and on. And we've got such a loosey-goosey culture, it's like, well, my wife knows how I feel about her. Heck, I've been married to her for 30 years. She ought to know by now. She still wants to be honored. She still wants me to say, I love you, and look in my eyes and know I mean it. She still wants a dinner date. She still wants occasion me to do something above and beyond. She wants me to think about her more than I think about myself and all of that stuff, even though she knows how I feel. And so just thinking that I want to do something, a good thing, is not just enough. And so they go out, and even if it's grand, now listen, this is important, even if it's grand and even if it's expensive, they carry 30,000 people out and they've got all of this stuff that we're going to sacrifice. They carry all their musical instruments and they have quite the party. They built a new cart for the ark. And, of course, the ox stumbled. Anytime you try to do it besides God's way, the ox is going to stumble. The thing you want to haul it in on, the thing that you want to carry it for you, is going to stumble. I promise you that. No surprise to me, the ox stumbled. And so we know what happened with Uzzah. God struck him dead. This thing was set up with failure to start with, though, because they put it on the cart, and then the worship wasn't even right. Even though they were making noise, and even though they had the band going, even though that they had good musicians that came in, even though they were singing these songs, this song, the one we just sang, Relentless Love, Reckless Love, Reckless Love, it is just like, man, it's got the breath of God all over it. And it has been for several months now since Corey Asbury, I think, is the one that released it. And it's just got the breath of God on it. But we can get slick musicians, and we can come in, and we can get singers that have a very great pitch and very great voices, and they can come in and they can sing it and all of this stuff. And as good as it is, and they might be playing the right song, it does not mean that it's going to usher in the presence of God, the life-changing presence of God in our life. Elton John could sing it, as accomplished as he is. And it's not going to carry the presence and the weight from the heart of God. So the problem was not just the fact that they carried it on a cart. They had 30,000 people, and it said everybody brought their musical instruments and everybody was singing and all of that. The only problem with that is God did not tell them to do it that way back in the Pentateuch. You study the books in the Bible that Moses wrote and what God spoke to Moses, and who did he say is to set aside to lead us? Levites. The Levites are going to lead us in worship. The Levites are going to lead us in sacrifice. I have got a chosen set people that are going to do this. You say, brother, we're under grace now and all of this stuff, and we're all priests and all of that. Okay, great. Have you consecrated yourself? Because you can be a priest and you can be a defiled priest. I know His blood covers all. I believe everything that James just said a while ago. But I can still come before God in such a sinful state that it causes issues with me flowing in the... Because see, it comes back to honor. There are certain... I had supper with my mama last night. Lori's out of town. And I had been burning brush piles, and I had been working with cattle, and I've been doing all kind of stuff. And I stunk, and I was nasty, and I was dirty, and all of that stuff. And Mom said, what time do you want to do supper? And I said, I got to go take a shower first, because there ain't no way I'm going to go in and plop down at my mama's table smelling and looking like that. She probably wouldn't have said anything. She'd have thought it, but she wouldn't have said anything, because she's glad her son's eating supper with her. But it was an honor thing with her. It was an honor thing. I might go get a cheeseburger with Randy like that, but I ain't going and sitting at my mama's dinner table like that. Okay? I'm not going to sit at your table like that either. And so he comes in right here, and they've got this mass, and everybody's like, oh, that's wonderful, that's glorious. Everybody's got an instrument. Everybody's singing. The only problem is God told Moses to consecrate the priest and the Levites, and they were the ones going to lead. So just because we do it on a grand scale and it seems right to us doesn't necessarily... I don't want to confuse you right here. We'll clear some things up later. But I just want you to know, in an honorable thing, we have to come and do things a certain way. And I want us to understand how to do them. I want us to understand how to do them. There is a difference when I consecrate myself. Say, I consecrate myself daily. There's a difference in my approach on a Sunday morning than my approach on a different day. The night before. I don't go out and do stuff on Saturday night. I try to stay in where I can get ready for church Sunday. I try to lock myself alone with God. It's caused me to miss some good ball games and stuff on Saturday night. But that's okay. You know, I'll give up some college football games because I recognize the importance of what this is. I recognize the importance of this. And so we want to set ourselves aside. They come in and they're just doing free-for-all. Everybody, man, doing what, you know, hey, man, this is awesome and all that. The problem is God rejected it. Let me read a couple verses and then we're going to get somewhere. Verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. This is the first time. It tells the story about they gathered all of this stuff. Verse 9, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzza put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzza, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzza, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzza to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. I think verse 14 is important, guys. I want us to get this. There is a higher place of blessing. There is a higher place of relationship that is in store for us when we do it right. The nation of Israel was still blessed those 3 months. The Philistines did not invade them. Listen, the Philistines didn't invade them. David didn't lose any battles. They still sit in Jerusalem as their capital. They were still blessed in their fields. They were still blessed in their flocks. But there was one household that was blessed above what everything else was happening in the nation of Israel. And you know who it was? Obed-Edom. And it's because the presence abided there. It's because the presence abided there. I want my life to be in the place to where when people are hurting, I'm in a position where I can help them. When people are in need, I'm in a position to help them. When God wants to release a word into somebody's life, I'm in a position to hear what His position, to hear what His voice says, and have the unction to release it into them. I want to be in that. How many of you ladies, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you ladies felt like you really ministered Thursday night to somebody? Just lifting your heart, not right. And you're like, man, that felt so good. That felt so right. I've been on the other end of that where I couldn't minister to somebody, Brett, because I knew that there was a, I was still in Israel. Y'all see what I'm saying? I was still saved. I still had the favor of God on my life, but I was not in this position. And Obed-Edom is in a superior position because of the presence of God. And I want to be, I'm tired of people dying of cancer. Michelle, how awesome to go in and to be able to minister to your friend in Montana. Michelle just got back from Montana visiting a friend that's got cancer. It's a pretty severe case. And getting some good reports right now. But that Michelle would just walk in the presence of God on your life so strong that you could just declare and release and it settled right then. How frustrating for us to realize that when we get into heaven, we owned it all the whole time. The parable that Jesus talks about, it wasn't a parable. The Apostle Paul is actually writing this in the book of Romans, and it talks about the servant and the child that is a son. And he said there's no difference. As long as the son is immature, the child is immature, even though he owns it all. He said he owns everything. He owns it all. Linda Carter owns it all. Carolyn owns it all. Ida owns it all. It's just, am I going to be in the position to where I'm in an elevated place as far as, I'll be honest with you, I want the five, not the one, on the talents. The talents is a weight. It's not a gift and it's not even money. It's a weight. I want the five. I want the bread to the eater and seed to the sower. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want for us, guys. I want us to walk through and be the sons that God's called us to be. And Obed-Edom was in that position, and David was not at this point. Nobody else was at this point. So David had to go back and say, what did we do wrong? Chapter 15. Start in verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, look at this in verse 2, in contrast to what we had seen in the first go around. None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Y'all see the contrast in chapter 15 and chapter 13? What was chapter 13? Hey, Uzzah, you boys put it on that new cart and let's drive that thing on in. And we're gonna sacrifice and we're going to worship and we're going to celebrate the whole way. And it's going to be a grand old time. The only problem was David didn't know what he was doing the first time. He just knew his heart was right, but he didn't know what he was doing. We can have the right heart, but have the wrong method, the wrong process, the wrong honor, and we can mess some things up. I remember keeping nursery a couple years ago. They don't ask me to keep nursery anymore. I don't know why, but I was keeping nursery a few years ago on a Wednesday night, and I was in there and all that. And Trevor done, it's probably been several years ago now because Trevor pooped his pants. And I'm like, I got this. I'd changed my daughter's diapers for years. It wasn't no big deal and all that. And I'll change my grandkids' diapers and all that. So, well, there was some Clorox wipes next to the changing table. So guess what Trevor got wiped down with, Nick? Clorox wipes. I'm glad Trevor's tough. I'm glad he's a boy, not a girl, you know. And so I'm here, sitting here scrubbing down. I mean, it's one of them good, pasty, thick kind, you know. I don't know what Beth been feeding. Well, I'm scrubbing him down. Got him good and clean and all that stuff. Well, Lori comes in a few minutes later, and she's like, I said, I got Trevor took care of. I was proud, man. I was wearing my badge of honor. You know. She's like, what did you? I said, these Clorox wipes sitting right here. She said, you did what? Of course, I pulled Eve on her real quick, or pulled Adam on her real quick. I said, what kind of woman will leave Clorox wipes next to a changing table? Ain't that the natural response? Luckily, my heart was right. I was going to take care of them. My heart was right. I was keeping nursing. My heart was second. I was going to take care of Trevor's poopy diaper. So my heart was good. I could have, luckily it didn't, but I could have messed some stuff up by scrubbing him down with Clorox wipes. My method was wrong. My knowledge was wrong. I want us, the Word said that the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. And I want us to be a people that understand the ways of God. And that's not to put us in a superior position. That's to put us to where we're more like Him so that we can release His love and His mercy and His reconciliation and His grace to a world that needs it. David didn't know what he was doing in 1 Chronicles 13, and he didn't know what he was doing in 2 Samuel 6. But in the meantime, he had said, God, teach me. Some priests, get some scribes and teach me, where did we mess up? Where have we messed up in our lives? Where have we messed up as a church? Our heart's always been right, I think. Jeffrey, I think our heart's always been right. I feel like our heart's always been pure. But I feel like we have made some mistakes along the way simply because we didn't understand His ways like we thought we understood His ways. And so you know what it did? It negated some things. And it caused some delays. It caused us to circle some mountains. And some of you, that's been an issue in your life. And that's why you've marched around in some mountains. That's why you've marched around. God's saying, I've got to teach you some lessons. So let's go back through it again. You didn't get it right last time. Let's go through it again. And God does not mind going back over something. He ain't got no problem failing you from first grade to second grade. He ain't worried about if you're going to have a complex or not. He wants you to get it right, Nick. And if we got to repeat fourth grade six times, then let's repeat fourth grade six times. Because God says, time is not an issue to me. I'm thinking about the long haul on this. And so somewhere between chapter 13 and chapter 15, in this three-month time period, David said, let's see what happened and let's get this thing figured out. And so he comes back in chapter 15, and look what he says right here. None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath God chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever. Then David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto His place which He prepared for it. He still brought all of Israel together, but he said, we're going to do it right this time. Verse 12. And he said unto them, he called Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, and for the Levites, in verse 11, and he said unto them, you're the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Look at this. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I prepared for it. Not only did he get the right people this time, but he said, get right. If you're the right person, you've got to get right. Consecrate yourself. And I know we go in and we say, well, the Word says, brother, that we're a nation of priests and all of this stuff. And that there's not a, I agree, there's not a select hierarchical clergy and all of that stuff this day. I agree with that. Every one of you, I try to tell every one of us, the thing is we are all Levites and priests before the Lord now. But we don't always consecrate ourselves and put us in ourselves in a position to be properly used of God or accepted of God. I can be accepted as a son, but rejected as a vessel. I want to refer back to the lesson that Jesus taught on the talents. On the one teaching that Jesus did, He came in to these servants and He gave one of them five, one of them two, and one of them one. And He came in and He said, it said according to their ability, but when He gave them these talents, the five and the two and the one, He said, you do with it what you see fit. He didn't come in and say, this is what you've got to do with it. He said, I trust you as a steward enough that you take it and you go do something with it. You got five, you got two, you got one, but I trust I'll do whatever you want to with it. He gave them no defining, this is what you're going to do with it. He said, do what you want to with it, and then I'll come back. And we are always accepted as sons. And I want to beat that drum and beat that drum and beat that drum. I want to beat the reckless love drum. I want to keep beating that thing. Because that is absolutely, absolutely true. But I also want to tell you, Brett House, that you can't live any way you want to live. And you can't approach God casual. You can't approach God common. There is a measure of expectation on your life that is higher than the level of expectation that is on Scott. And that's not a knock on Scott whatsoever. It's a calling that God has placed on. It's a mantle He threw on you. That I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and He has called me into a special office and position. Okay? You know, He's called some, and He talks about the different callings, the different fivefold ministry and everything. And there's a unique calling that is on you. So that means that there is a different level of expectation on you than Scott. Scott's got a level of expectation on him. But God's got a different expectation on you. God holds Linda to a different expectation level than He does me, because of the gifting and the calling that He's put in her life as a worship leader. I can worship. She won't go and out worship me, but she has got a higher place of leading people in worship than I do. You see what I'm saying on this? And so I want us to understand that the honor thing, the ante goes up based on the whose presence we're in and based on the level of presence that we're in. All right? If I go and visit a great person and I step on their property and I meet their representatives, there's a certain level of honor that goes with that. Okay? I'm going to use this, and please don't nobody get messed up spiritually. I want to make a point of this. If I go to the Vatican and I step on the property in the Vatican in Rome, Italy, there's a certain level, and I know it's covered up with tourists, but there's a certain level of honor and respect that I should carry myself with when I step on the property. If I have a meeting with representatives of the Pope, his representatives, then ups the ante. I'm not a tourist anymore. Even though there's a level of honor and respect, all of a sudden it's upping the ante because I'm meeting representatives in a more private and intimate setting. Therefore, there is a different expectation level on me as I keep moving up this food chain. Y'all see what I'm saying on this? Then if I maybe come in and I meet with the cardinal that is right under the Pope, then all of a sudden that carries it up to a different level of honor that I'm supposed to carry myself in. And then if I somehow was to have audience with the Pope, then that would carry it to a whole new level of honor. And it wouldn't be a thing where I'd just walk in and say, he's just a man just like I am. That's our attitude with God. It's our attitude with God's people. That's the attitude of our brethren. If I come in and I have an audience with Bill Johnson, I'm going to carry myself different. No offense. You're saying, brother, you're putting, you're esteeming one above another. I'm honoring, because I'll honor my apostle more than I will honor Brett House. Both of them are called to God. Both of them are anointed God. I love both of them. I would give my life for either one of them. But there's a higher level of honor. And you see what I'm saying? There's a higher expectation. A higher expectation. And this is what's going on right here, guys. As David said, yeah, I know that you guys are Levites, but that's not enough. Consecrate yourselves. You want to be used by God? Consecrate yourself. You want to be able to receive invitations from God? Consecrate yourself. If you want to hear whispers, then consecrate yourself. Don't come on in any old way. Calm and casual, here I am, God. And it's the thing where he had to learn. This is what I want you to understand. Don't think, I've been doing this a long time and I've been raised right and I've been in church 30 years and all that stuff. Deborah, you've been saved as long as I know you. As long as I've known you. Let me get my English correct. You've been saved as long as I've known you. Courtney's been saved as long as I've known Courtney. But even in that, in our 30-year journey together, God still has a lot to teach us about His ways and the way He views honor. And David didn't know it. He said, guys, we missed it last time. Look what he said right here. He said, sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord. He said, because you didn't do it last time. And the Lord God made a breach upon us. For we sought Him not after the due order. I want to seek Him right. I want to love Him right. I want to worship Him right. I want to know His ways. People have gotten rich off making, writing books. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus or something like that. And understanding the difference in male and female. I want to understand the difference in me and God. Word says His ways are higher than my ways. So I want to ascend to that place where I understand and I know Him. Verse 14. So the priest and the Levite sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Anybody feel the weight of verse 15? And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. David came in and he said, here's who's going to be the worship leaders. This is according to the word of the Lord to Moses, not my word. This is who's going to be the worship leaders, and this is how you're going to do it. Worship team, if we can't get up there and lift up voices with joy, we don't need to get up there. I need to be right down here and saying, God, let me get my heart right. Let me get my heart right. Let me get my mind right with joy. You know how you operate in joy? Word talks about joy unspeakable, full of glory and all of this. Peace that passes all understanding, all that. You operate in joy when you have things settled in your life. You operate with joy when it's settled that God's good, even though circumstances are bad. Mm-hmm. Paul and Silas operated in joy even though they had open wounds on their back and they were in shackles. They celebrated. Peter slept between four soldiers when he was going to die the next day because he had something settled. God wasn't on trial in his life. God is good. His mercy endures forever. He's faithful. He's just. He's right. He is there for me. And he had that settled so he could operate in joy. And David comes in and he says, man, this is who's going to lead in singing. This is how you're going to lead in singing. And so the Levites appointed. And it starts talking about all these people that they appointed. Man, I want to be on some list. I want to be on some list, guys. I want to be on some list. He even comes in right here on one of these guys down in verse 22. And not only was he a consecrated Levite, but it also says he was skillful. He was skillful. Part of my prayer right now, I'm trying for God to reinvent me. I'm praying Jeremiah Potter wheel experience in my life right now. Because I'm 56, guys. I just turned 56, and I'm praying God would reshape me right now. And I want to learn how to honor, and I want to learn how to communicate better. I want to learn how to be more skillful in the craft that God has called me into in every area of my life. And I should be at the time where I'm thinking about trying to figure out a 401k in retirement right now. I'm at that point where I should be there. I should be there. So I've been preaching for 30 years and ain't nothing going to change. I want to be totally transformed in my delivery and my message and my communication skills. Amen. I want to be skillful. I want you to be skillful. I don't want it to be, oh, shucks, that's just old Brett. God mold me, God shape me, God teach me your ways, God teach me how to honor my wife so that I can love her to a higher degree, to a higher level. Teach me how to honor my children. Teach me how to honor my son-in-laws. Teach me how to honor my grandchildren. Teach me how to honor my brethren. Teach me how to honor the Blake House guys. Teach me how to honor all of this stuff out here. Teach me how to teach honor. And teach me how to honor those and bring me in a position to honor those for those who can't honor or don't know or don't want to. That's my heart right now, and I'm 56, Nick. It's a calling God's put on us, His people. Us, His people. Reason I'm going to drive to Greensboro, North Carolina, and see Jonathan and Melissa Helter, because they carry something. They carry something. I've been around them enough now to know they carry something, and I've been intrigued by that, and I want to get connected to that somehow. Me and you had that conversation. Don't think just come in and say, man, I'm saved and I love Jesus and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and man, just leave me alone. I want you to be on the list. God says, we're going to do it right this time. And these are the people we're going to do it right with. And they come in and says, we're going to do it with the anointed Levites that are consecrated. And then we're going to start picking from that. And I want you to be on that list. It's not so you can beat your chest and say, whoa, look at me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about our agenda. It's about reaching a world that desperately needs truth. It's about releasing healing into somebody's life that's going to die without it. It's about releasing healing into a marriage that's going to die without it. It's about releasing something into a kid's life so that they're not going to wind up being in the Blake House when they're 25 years old. Come on, somebody. It's what we're talking about. It's not just so our worship will be a little bit tighter. It's about the presence of God overwhelms us. I love tight worship. I laid in the floor over here and wept before y'all got here in the first worship set. I'm sorry y'all missed it. Not me weeping, but the first worship set. I came undone. It's about us carrying that to the world. It's about us carrying that in this house. It's about us carrying it on a ladies' meeting on a Thursday night. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You know what God's going to do in this journey if you say yes to it? I'm going to stop right here. I promise you I could go for about 4 more hours, but we won't. But I want to stop right here. I want to tell you what God will do. It's going to do in this journey if you say yes to it. God is going to come in and He's going to start putting a different spirit in you. And it's going to start changing the way you think, and it's going to start changing your actions. You know what, I don't know how many of y'all caught this because I said it kind of at the tail end and all that stuff, but at our life group the other night, I apologized to our life group the other night. I said, man, I'm sorry. I said, we like to do meals with our life group. And if you don't, you need to get a revelation and all, but anyway, we like to do meals with our life group. And the last two times had been coming off of just like, you know, we just got back from Sydney Hanna's gymnastics event and all of this stuff, and just, you know, like super busy, crazy, and all that stuff. So the last two times at Life Group, we did wings the time before, and we did, I'm good with wings, man. I dig wings. We did Papa John's pizza this last Sunday night. Papa John's okay. It's okay. I know it's. But you know what? I apologized to them, and I said, I'm better than that. I did. I don't know if any of y'all heard that. I said, guys, I apologize. I'm going to cook y'all a real meal next time. I'm better than easy. I'm better than hey, senior, you go by, we ordered, you know, 150 wings, you go by and pick them up. I'm better than that. I'm better than that with hospitality, and I'm better than that with honor. You say, well, sometimes, brother, that's all the time I got. Yeah, I get it sometimes, but don't let it define you. And our relationship with Christ has turned into takeout wings and pizza. You ladies enjoyed the ladies meeting Thursday night? Wasn't it nice? Wasn't it pretty? I mean, y'all come in, man, and there's candles everywhere. And the big, you know, Randy and Brett had to move the big old chair down here for Lori to teach out of. You know, had to get the guys been working out. I couldn't do it. I just, Randy, y'all come on. Brought the big chair down here and all. A lot of planning. They did a lot of planning on what we want this to look like. Had all the tables in the back and the nice brunch and all of that stuff come in and all this food. Now, my wife was wiped out the next day. She said, man, I just can't do this all the time. I'm getting too old to do this all the time. I said, you're built to do this. You know what that was, though, that whole thing? You know what it was? Is her and my daughters were honoring you ladies. Because she could have just as easily got a few bottles of paste picante sauce and put it back there and dumped some bags of chips in and got a couple things and said, y'all come on in, we after the Word of God. She was honoring. They were honoring you ladies. And you felt it when you came in, didn't you? You know why we went all out on the men's thing? Because we were honoring you guys as men. We were. We went all out on that. Jeffrey gets the bills from it. He's like, oh, man, sorry. We go all out on the Chick-fil-A biscuits for the high school. Expensive. But you know what it is? It's a thing of where we say, we are honoring you. We are placing value on our time together. We're placing value on the fact that you women are away from your kids tonight, and you can come into a place and you can exhale, you can rest, and you can soak in the presence of God, and we want to make it nice for you. That's what that was. That was a Holy Ghost spa treatment Thursday night. It was. You won't get that at Indulge. Indulge is good, but they can't do that. It's an honor thing. It's an honor thing. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I obsess when I'm cooking, even for my family, almost to an anal point, and I get it, and I try to back off a little bit. I obsess with whether or not they like what I cook for them. I do. And I know it kind of gets, I was like, was that good? And all that stuff, you know. And it's not so I'll think I'm some good cook because I watch the cooking channel. I am not an Iron Chef. I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant, you know. I don't know how to do a port wine reduction. I don't know how to do all of this stuff. But I want to honor who I'm cooking for or preparing for to the point that I place high value on you as my guest. And I want us to get like that with God. Because when we do that, you know what? The results are different, Jamie. The results are different. When they did it the second time, what happened? Woo, son! The Holy Ghost blew up in Jerusalem. It was so powerful. I mean, we know the story about David and all these mighty men. Think about all these mighty men. These guys are guys that went out there and they had no problem decapitating their enemies. And were skillful at doing so. And they coming in and they're dancing wildly before. I know some of you guys are too cool to worship. We need to take some pages from their playbook. I mean, David's future father-in-law says, you want my daughter? Go get the foreskins of 100 Philistines. Basically, he says, go kill 100 men and come back and see me. And David comes and they said, that ain't no problem. Come back with 200. Woo, son, come on, talk to me. Don't tell me these worshipers were light. And they're coming in and they're worshiping God and they're doing it right. They're doing it right. They're doing it in a place of honor. And David is so moved in this place of honor in the presence of God. You know what he immediately does? He blesses the whole nation. The Word says that he comes in and he gives them a side of beef and a flagon of wine and these huge clusters of grapes and all of this stuff. I mean, Brandon, everybody in the 30,000 went and brought it in, but everybody in Jerusalem, David's saying, hey, man, let's hope. Generosity began to flow, brother. Generosity began to flow out of him. Because he had such a kiss of God on his life in that moment. Such a kiss of God on his life in that moment. And the presence showed up. So you know what they did? They said, all right, Levites, we want to start just some continual praise and worship here. Here's y'all's job. It was actually split up a little bit because some of the holy instruments were still up at Mount Gabiah, I think. And some of them went and worshiped up at the altar or kept the fire going on the altar up there, and some of them ministered before the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, man, we're so moved by doing it right, and God has smiled so and kissed us so that we're going to keep this thing going. We're going to move into a new era. A new era. A new era. And then David immediately writes one of the Psalms out of this. And God is so moved by this, a man that would chase after his heart, that God comes in, and you know what he declares over him? He said, not only are you going to be blessed and no enemy, he said, no enemy will prevail against you, but he said, your son's kingdom will be blessed as well. He said, I won't, listen to God's promise. He said, I'm not going to do to him what I did to your predecessor. He said, I took my hand off of Saul because Saul was an idiot. But he said, I'm not going to take my hand off of your son because you are obsessed with honoring me now. You're obsessed in knowing my ways. You're a man after my heart. And that's the journey we're on, guys. That's the journey we're on. You know what's going to be the result of that? Y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm done today. You know what's going to be the result of that? Great kids. Some of y'all pay tuition to send y'all's kids to Bremen because you think that there's going to be a better education and I want great kids. And I'm not, I think Bremen's got a good school system. Both my girls went there. I paid tuition. We'll get it in the natural. That I'm going to take 6 vacations and well, my family, no, because I want to invest in my family. That's great, man. I love to travel. Absolutely. I'm planning about 100 trips right now myself over the next 20 years. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because I want great results in my life. And I'm convinced this is the key. I'm convinced that's the key, Nick. You know what's going to be the result of this? Great kids. Great kids. Great kids. When Carter sees this in y'all's life, you won't have to worry about if he's going to honor his girlfriend and he's going to honor his future wife and sees the way that y'all raise him in a place, in a household of our heart, a man after God's heart, a woman after God's heart. You ain't going to have to worry about that with him. You ain't going to worry about if he knows the Lord. That's the result of that. You know the result of that? I don't know if you're insecure or secure or whatnot. You know what the result of that is? It with when proper honor comes into your home, you won't ever have to worry about how she looks at you and how she looks at another man. You won't ever have to worry about that. There's some things that will be settled. You don't have to worry about that. Laura's in Dallas, Texas right now. We're celebrating Jen's 50th birthday and all that stuff. She didn't give me a talk saying, now, don't be going out while I'm gone and, you know, don't be, you know, trolling for women in Carrollton or anything like that. And she didn't have to give me that talk because there's some things that are settled and it's based on honor. That's the result of that is you're going to have this amazing, amazing life's journey together. The result of this is you begin this journey of honor is you will get so many invitations into secret places with God. See, all this hinges together back. I'm going to reveal the hidden places, the secret things to you. You're going to come in on us, and then all of a sudden God's going to be able to give you a revelation concerning other people. And you'll be able to release that into their life. I got up, I told something to, and I don't know who spoke this over you the other night, but I got up on the stage and met with the worship team during the first worship set, and I shared some stuff that was on my heart and everything, and Regina said, that is the exact word that was spoke over me Thursday night. She said, everybody, that is the exact word. I don't know, who spoke that over you? Tiffany. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what getting in alignment with the Father does. That's what honoring His stuff does. That's what honoring His daughters do. That's what honoring His house does. That's what honoring an evening does. I bet y'all came with a heightened sense of expectation Thursday night, didn't you? Higher than you did Wednesday night for my teaching, didn't you? You did. That's okay. I'm good with it. I had a higher sense of expectation for y'all Thursday night also. I did. I knew it was going to be awesome. I actually told Lori, we were sitting on the back deck Friday afternoon before we went out on our date. I actually told her, I said, man, we were talking about Thursday night. I said, I bet Tiffany did awesome in that. I said, because that is her setting. I said, that's her setting. She flourishes. And I was just saying, I've never been with you in that setting, but I just knew. I knew. That's cool that you're the one who spoke at Regina. That's a confirmation for her that what you said Thursday night, that should be a confirmation for you, because I just echoed the exact same thing in her life a while ago. That's the result of what this journey that we're talking about, guys. And I so want y'all to take this journey. God wants you to take this journey. I don't want to just be saved. I don't want to just, when I get to heaven, then God's off trial. And some of y'all are going to live this life, and that's what the case is going to be. And you're going to get to heaven. You say, well, God, everything they said about you was right, God, and pales in comparison. You're off the hook now. I'm sorry. And God said, you just wasted 30 years and countless lives that you could have impacted. And you just missed leading 12 kids to the Lord on Friday morning. And you just missed this. And you just missed that. And I don't want us to be a nation of Sauls. And I don't want us to be a nation of Uzzas. I don't even want us to be a nation. I want us to understand what our lane is and flourish in our lane. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. 30,000 people tried to worship the Lord, bringing in the ark the first time. And all of them, except for the Levites, everybody was wrong in the way they did it. I don't want to try to get in her lane. Did y'all notice what Tiffany said a while ago when I said something about that y'all had a higher expectation level for Thursday night? You know what she said? She said, it's because we were a bunch of sisters up here together. That was her lane. It wasn't my lane. I'm a guy. But the men's meeting wasn't her lane. She's a chick. I'm not discounting anybody. I just want you to flourish in your lane. Because we honored right and we did it right. I saw something yesterday. I promise I'm done with this. But I think this is important. I saw something yesterday. Some of the Winter Olympics I dig, and some of it's boring as mess to me. And I was watching a mass start speed skating thing yesterday, and there was like 20 women out there, and two of them from the United States. And they said one of them possibly has a chance at meddling in this. And in this particular event, there are no rules against team skating. And so what they were doing in the middle of this race, and it was a bunch of laps, you know, it was like a 15 minutes, and speed skating for 15 minutes, I can't imagine, you know. And so they're out there doing this. The two U.S. girls are in the middle of the pack the whole race. Doesn't have a glorious ending, they wound up getting 11th, okay. But in the middle of the race, the two U.S. girls, they were skating in line together. And the girl that was less skillful was in front of the girl that was more skillful. She was doing it on purpose. The girl that was more skillful, you're skating, was even, you can do it if they're on the same team, was putting her hand on the girl less skillful in front of her. She was drafting her, okay? TW, Ricky Bobby. You got it? Shake and bake, baby. That's what it was. Shake and bake. And so she's... I just lost every religious person that will listen to this podcast. So she's got her hand on her drafting her, and they said it was at the advantage of the girl behind her. because she was breaking the wind so she could conserve energy until it was time for her to make her move. And when it was time for her to make her move, then she flew past this girl. And this girl got lost in the crowd. She got 17th. But you know what she was doing? She was honoring the chances of this girl that was probably older and more experienced, more mature, or maybe had a higher calling on her. And she was honoring that. And sometimes, the most honorable thing to do, we'll get over here with this crowd. I love this crowd. It's my people. Sometimes the most honorable thing to do is to be Cal Naughton. I don't know why I came to the buddies in the middle of all of that. Isn't that it, though? John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know why John ultimately failed in his life? Because he, even after he said this and his disciples at that time started following Jesus, a little bit later on, he kept preaching a message against Herod and he got disciples back to himself again. And he missed the fact that it's okay to be number two. It cost him his head. I believe John could have been one of the 12 disciples. He certainly didn't have to be beheaded in that manner. He may punch me in the throat when we get to heaven and say, boy, you slandering me. Just saying that's what I feel. Sometimes the greatest way that I can honor you is by lifting you up. Sometimes the greatest way that I can honor you is by putting you first. You do it without all the time. You lift her up and you put her needs first. You'll do without so she doesn't have to if you're the man I think you are. You'll do it with your children. You'll do it with your children. Back in the day, the kids ate after all the parents ate. You know the way it is now. You know who gets fed first around these places? Our kids. Your kids. And I'm okay with that. I'm honoring my... So they don't deserve it. I don't deserve anything. So this week, if you're Cal, be cool with being Cal. As long as she's Ricky. Or if Randy's Ricky. Or if Brett House is Ricky. Or if Tiffany is. If any of you ladies in here, when I was bragging on Tiff a while ago, and you thought, well, I prophesied to people too, and nobody came to tell me, Tiffany always gets attention and all that stuff and not. You know what that tells me? Is you need to go down a journey of honor. If that rose up on you in the least little bit, then you need to go down a journey of honor. If any tinge of jealousy rises in you and somebody's flowing in ministry and the anointing of God on their life, you know, you need to go down a journey of honor. Go down a journey of honor. Amen. I know I'm long. I'm sorry. That was just the introduction. God has so much to say about this in our life. Let's start the journey. Study the Scripture, y'all. Y'all go home and study. Word says study to show yourself approved. Don't just wait for me or Brett or James or somebody or Nick to bring it up here on a Sunday or a Wednesday. But let's start this journey together. Let's let God reshape us. Let's start a Jeremiah 18 process. Alright? I just want to pray over y'all and we're going to dismiss in that way. If you need to pray or anything like that afterwards, obviously the altar is open. I am here and I will take time and I will pray with you. If you're a female, I'll get somebody to pray with you. And we don't want to let any need go undone. But I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you guys as a people. Y'all ready? Just position your... We're dismissing this. So just position your heart to receive. Father God, we come to you today, and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the powerful time that we had with you today, Lord. I felt it on my way here, and Lord, it was just... It kept amplifying as I walked through the doors. I thank you for Levites and priests that will stand before you and lead people in worship. I thank you for skillful people that will stand before you in worship. I thank you for an invitation for us to embark on a journey into honor. And I pray that you would teach me how to help lead people. David was king and he didn't know it all. And Lord, I need to learn. And my heart is to teach me. My heart is to teach these people, Father. And Lord, I just declare over them right now that there would be such a spirit and such a heart in them that they would want to say yes to this. They would want to say yes to more. That they would not be satisfied being in Israel, but they would want to be Obed-Edom. They would want to be in that blessed household. They want to be one in that used household. And God, I pray that we would be a people that would embark on this. And Lord, I just, with great anticipation and expectation at the fruit that's going to come out of this, I celebrate it and I say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the pursuit of us. Thank you for leaving the 99, as James said, to find you find us every day. And you want to teach us about honor because, Lord, I know you want us to be the express image of you. So, Lord, I just declare your blessings over these people, your abundance over these people, your truth over these people. Lord, let them seek you like they've never sought you before. And, Lord, in that I know that they'll find you. It's in Jesus' name we ask this, and in Jesus' name we place all of our hope today. Amen and amen. You guys have a blessed week, and we'll see everybody Wednesday night.